I have a joke for you, and I need some audience participation on this joke. I think you'll recognize what your role is going to be. Knock, knock. Knock, knock. Jesus. Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, let me into your life. Isn't that what we've heard about today? This weekend, about letting Jesus Christ into our lives. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. I only have 45 minutes to speak today. For those of you from central Montana, you might think this is going to be a miracle. I do need to leave some time for Mr. Corbett. I think this is the original knock-knock. It's the biblical basis for my joke. You probably thought I didn't have any biblical basis, but if you go to Revelation chapter 3, breaking into the message to the Laodiceans, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Christ is knocking. Now, the things before this were a little bit negative, but he says here that if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. I think we can really relate to the supping part. I really enjoy having a meal with someone. How about you? Hasn't this been great? Just walk out that door, go down to the next door, go in, eat. Go 3 blocks last night, eat all the Mexican food, or whatever you did. With someone else to talk to have conversation with. Now, I don't think we don't say, well, who'd you sup with last night? No one asked me who I supped with last night. But I think we all supped fairly well. We probably supped a good lunch. And we enjoyed the conversation. And I think about this, I look at Christ, he's saying, you know, you want to have contact with me? He said, I'm at the door, I'm knocking, I want to come into your life. And if I come in, we'll sit down, we'll have a great meal, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. You want to hear my views on things? Let's sit down and have a cup of coffee and talk it over. Maybe some cheesecake for dessert. Whatever. Well, he wants to come in to our life. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's interesting being one of the last speakers on a weekend like this. You never know what scriptures someone else is going to use. That's the advantage of being one of the first speakers. You can use all the scriptures you want. For Mr. Corbett, he's going to be relegated to the Old Testament, I think, because I haven't used anything from the Old Testament. I think hopefully that'll work out well. That's how God works. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" I think it's been made abundantly clear to us in the last two messages we heard yesterday and this morning that God is dwelling with us. And that's the purpose of this weekend, is to study Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And here we see that it says right here in verse 16 that we're the temple of God, and God's Spirit dwells in us. And if we've had hands laid on us, it's in us. And if we haven't had hands laid on us yet, young people or those that are newer, it's with you and it's around you and it's working with you. So God's Spirit dwells in you. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. We'll see this theme continuing that we have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us. I know sometimes we forget things over lunch, so I'm just laying some groundwork here. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So here it's saying that we really need to have that Spirit in us, and if we don't have that Spirit in us, we're not part of God's family. Let's go to another scripture we read probably about 50 days ago. Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, a very familiar set of scriptures. Begin in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch of me that bears not fruit, he takes away. A little bit of a warning there. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I don't know about you, I don't like to be purged. This has a sort of negative connotation. I don't like to be purged. But he says that's what he does so we can grow, that we may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. We have to have Christ in us, brethren. I think it's in us. It is in us. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Yet, I guess the question is, do we take it for granted? Do we take having the Holy Spirit in us for granted? Here, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, neglect not the gift that is in you. He's referring to the Holy Spirit. He says, neglect it not, but which was given you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery, of the ministry. I think we can all think back to the time we were baptized, wherever that was, whatever body of water it was, whether it was a pool, a horse trough, a baptismal tank, a stream, a lake. I remember coming out wet and having the minister or ministers or whoever was there lay hands on us, and he's talking about this gift. Now, possibly for Timothy it was being ordained, but you know it applies to all of us that are baptized, that we had hands laid on us, and we have a gift. Mr. Halliday mentioned that this morning, that we all have at least one gift. But do we recognize that gift, or do we neglect it? Was it startling when he said we all have a gift? Did you sort of think, oh, wow, that means me. It means I've got a gift, all right. What is that gift? Or have we neglected that gift? He says, verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. Wholly, completely to them, that your profiting may appear to all. So everyone can see that you have God's gift in you, that you have God's Holy Spirit, that they can see it, that it radiates from you like a light coming from inside, that it's burning so brightly that it just burns right through. And you're like one of those glow sticks. You know, you're radiating light. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, verse 16, you shall both save yourself and them that hear you. We want to be saved. We want to have salvation. We want to be part of God's family. We want to have eternal life. But we need to ask ourselves, have we neglected the gift? The word neglect from the Greek means to mishear or to disobey. I like these. I'm a video guy. I like videos. You know, I like to say my daughter Amy really likes videos, but she probably got it from me. Now, you know, I think about, you know, I can say I watch them with her, but, you know, that's not true. I watch them by myself, too. But there's this one video of The Emperor's New Groove, I think is what it's called. Has anyone else seen that, or am I the only one? I want to make sure I'm... I can see I'm relating to some of the younger people. That's good. Since I am one of the younger people. Anyway, I like this scene where, what's his name? Cusco? No, is... Pardon, Amy? Cusco. He's a funny guy. Well, what's the name of the big dude? Ponk. Okay, thank you, Amy. Pacha. Oh, I see some people. Okay, Pacha. Okay, so Pacha's the big guy, you know. And there's this one scene where he has a little Pacha on this side and another little Pacha on this side, and they're sort of arguing. Pardon? Is it not Pacha? Kronk. Okay, are you all with me now? Kronk. I guess I'm not paying attention to the details. Okay. Do I look like Kronk? I'm Kronk. Okay, thank you. And I got the little Kronks on my shoulder. One's got a sword, the other's got a halo. The one with the halo is sort of like, you know, doing his nails or something. The other guy's over there, you know, ready to jab. And they have this little thing going on in their mind. It's like this voice that's in their mind. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have those people on your shoulders? Do you have the little voices? I don't mean to get mysterious on you here, or, you know, sort of weird. I don't weird out here, okay? But, you know, it's like, do you ever hear a voice? Like this quiet voice that tells you where to go? Remember the song that Don sang yesterday? The quiet voice that is God's Holy Spirit? Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're right nearby. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. You know, I think sometimes that we as Christians, it's on the page where 2 Thessalonians begins, okay? It's actually 1 Thessalonians 5, which is right above on my page, 2 Thessalonians, which is probably right. Did anyone find 2 Thessalonians 5? Let's try 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. You know, we receive the Spirit at baptism. We have hands laid on us. But what do we do with it? When it says something, do we throw water on it? Do we sort of flick it off our shoulder and say, go away, I don't want to listen to you? Do we quench it? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4. Good, there's a chapter 4 in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So here it's talking about grieving the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we're talking about Kronk, right? Is Kronk the guy? So Kronk's got these little guys on his shoulder. One of them's grieving. The good one is grieving. Now that's a visualization of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you do something wrong, does it cry? You know, if it's in communication to God, does it cry? Does it shed a few tears as you do something that you shouldn't do? As you quench it? As you shut it up? Say, I don't want to listen to you. Does it shed a few tears and grieve and cry and sort of turn the other way and shake its head, wishing that you would yield to it? He says, grieve not. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Let's go to the verse just above this, verse 29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So it seems like we do it by corrupt communication, what we say. And we can really hurt someone with what we say. And what we say sometimes is not being led by the Holy Spirit. And what we say grieves the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5 and begin in verse 13. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You know, I think we all know that we have the Holy Spirit in us. But do we use it? How do we use it? Do we use it? We need to use it. We need to show love to our brothers. It says, but by love serve one another. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now that's not normal. That's not what the carnal body wants to do. That takes God's Holy Spirit to do that. I don't know about you, I grew up in this world. I grew up being a very backbiting, sniping, wisecrack kind of a guy. Cutting. I had to change. Sometimes my mind still thinks like that. Sometimes I still say those things and it hurts somebody. And I'm sure when I say things that hurt somebody, Holy Spirit's grieved. Probably shed some tears. And I think that, you know, all being human, we've all done things like that. Unfortunately, we're not resurrected yet. We're still human, so I think other people say things like that to us at times. It's interesting, it goes on talking about this, verse 15. It says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Now here it's talking about biting. This word bite, I didn't bring my reference notes up with me, but this is the only place it's used. It's talking about how we talk. Biting. Have the expression a biting comment? Well, that was, boy. You know, that was a biting comment. That was a stinging comment. Devouring one another. I think about some of the phrases we use, you know. Well, he really chewed him up and spit him out. Right? Ever heard that one? How do you feel? I feel like I've been chewed up and spit out. Well, brethren, we have to make sure that we don't do that. We have to make sure that we let God's Holy Spirit flow through us and that we don't allow these things to happen. We need to keep our eyes focused on the goal. Keep our eyes focused on the kingdom of God and on our elder brother, Jesus Christ, and God on the throne. And realize they're the ones that we're trying to serve, and they're the ones we're trying to please. And guess what? That's whose spirit should be in us. I thought it was interesting yesterday, Mr. Holliday said, you know, we're going to be just like Christ. We're going to be spirit like He is spirit. Remember? We're going to be in that family. I thought another thing. You know what, brethren? We have the same spirit in us now that He had in Him when He was a human being, right? There's only one spirit. And we have that same spirit in us, and guess what? He was perfect. And He didn't do anything to hurt anybody. And what He said, He might have said the truth, it might have upset some people. He called a spade, a hypocrite, a viper, I'm not talking about cars. You know what? He spoke the truth, but He didn't do this. He didn't grieve the Holy Spirit. And that's the same Holy Spirit, brethren, that you and I have in us that we need to let flow from us, to flow through us. We have that in us, and we need to exercise it. We need to walk in that Spirit. Not what it says in verse 15. We need to do what it says in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we need to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Now, some of you may have noticed what I'm wearing today. I can't do this as well as my son Josh, who's in ballet and dance. He could put his over his head, but I've got my walking shoes on, my Reeboks, because I'm ready to walk. You know, it takes sort of psyching yourself up to go for a walk, doesn't it? You know, you got to get in your mood, in your mind, you're going to go for a walk. And for me, putting on my Reeboks, my old Reeboks that are losing their cush, gets me in the mood to go for a walk. Now see, we need to exercise the Holy Spirit, right? Well, okay, if you don't believe me, let's turn to 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, let's see. I hope this is the right one. Okay, it is. Boy, it fits in even better than I thought it would. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. Now, I don't know what an old wife is. I know I got a pretty good wife, and I'm very thankful for my wife. Certainly not talking about my wife when it talks about this, but it says, refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself rather unto godliness. So see, we're supposed to exercise ourselves unto godliness, being like God. You know, you ever hear the phrase, walk the walk, don't just talk the talk? Now, it's easy to come here on this weekend, on Pentecost weekend, and talk the talk, but we've got to walk the walk. We need to put on our spiritual walking shoes. We need to exercise God's Holy Spirit. We need to walk the walk. We need to live it, not just know it. Because, you know, I think a lot of us really know it. Because a lot of us have been around a long, long time. And I mean a long, long time. Now, we did a show of hands. I'm sure there's people in here that have been here longer than I have. This is my, 41st Pentecost. Now there's people, I've talked to people that have been around longer. Some of you have been in it your whole lives. That's a long time. And so, you know, we can say, yeah, I've been there, I've done that, I've got the t-shirt, I've got the mug, but, you know, so what? Are we living this way? We got to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Let's look at this aspect of walking in the Spirit a little bit further. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So it's saying we need to walk circumspectly. Now, I wrote these notes in my margin back when I was younger, and I could read my margins back then. But I've got the Phillips translation in my margin. It says, live life, this is what it has on verse 15 from the Phillips, live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men and women who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do. Now we've been exposed to what life is all about yesterday. Spirit life, that's our calling, is to have life. So we should have the ability to walk circumspectly, realizing the tremendous calling that God has given us. And we need to walk that way. He says, walk. Walking is doing something. He says, here, he's telling us how to walk circumspectly. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I know I've got you going back and forth, but trying to keep you awake. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. excuse me, verse 11, that you study to be quiet and do your own business, to work with your own hands as we command, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. How are we supposed to walk honestly? Now that's a Christian trait. Christ wants us to be honest. He wants us to live a godly life. Let's go back to 2 John. 2 John. In verse 6. Continuing to look at this aspect of walking in the Spirit. Now we have it, what are we going to do with it? We got to exercise it. We need to do something. We need to walk in it. 2 John, verse 6. Excuse me. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment that you heard from the beginning. You should walk in it. You should do it. Do it. Now that sounds, let's see. Am I wearing Nikes or Reeboks? Isn't that Nike ad that says do it? Is it Nike? That is an ad. Do it, right? Okay. Isn't that interesting that they have an ad that says do it? I mean, they've almost, like, no wonder that was a successful ad. It was like right out of the Bible. You know, it's telling them to do it. It's like to walk in it. Do it. You know, you think I'm joking, but you know, this word means do it. You're supposed to do something. You know, it's not something we just come and sit here on the weekend, this weekend, both days, or on the Sabbath, or on a holy day, but we need to do this all the time. We should walk in it. We should live this way. For many deceivers are entered into the world, verse 7, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Verse 8, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which you have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. How many of you want a full reward? Let's try this again. How many of you want a full reward? Okay, how many of you just want half a reward? There's always one. Don't we want a full reward? How many of you want to be half-borns? I mean, I want to be fully born. I want to be fully born into the family of God, right? I want to have all the benefits of having my mind changed so I don't have all these pulls of the flesh, and that I can live and have the heart of God and the heart of Christ and have His laws written in me so I know that whatever I do is what He wants me to do. Isn't that what we want? And it says we need to be careful, though, that we don't lose what we've wrought. Some of us have been around a long time, right? What do we have to show for it? You know? If we got that kind of power in us and we're not using it, that's a shame. You know, it's not like you just get it at baptism and then it takes off automatically. It's not like autopilot. You know, you have to do something with it. It's a gift. You have to exercise it. Because if you don't, you're going to lose it. Hence the phrase, use it or lose it. That's how it applies to us, brethren. We have to use God's Holy Spirit. We don't want to lose after all we've done. We don't want to blow it by some stupid thing. Because we get away from God, we get away from God's Holy Spirit, we start quenching it, and we quench it when it's telling us the right way to go, and we go the other way, and we do it that way and that way. So many times, we don't even hear the little voice. We don't hear God's Holy Spirit. And so we lose it. And all the work we've done, all the work we've wrought, is lost. And we don't receive the full reward. What a shame. Let's go to 3 John, it's down the page, verse 4. And this is always nice when you hear that your kids are doing well. All you parents can relate to this. This is how Christ and God feel, though, too. And this is how John said. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. So here they're walking in the truth. Isn't God's Spirit the Spirit of truth. So if we're walking in the truth, aren't we walking in the Spirit of God? So my first point is that we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to do it. We need to exercise it. One more scripture on this point. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. It's interesting as you're looking at this aspect of walking in the Spirit, these scriptures start jumping out all over the place. Hopefully next time you see a Nike ad or a Reeboks ad, you'll think about walking in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Righteousness of the law. Righteousness. Living God's way is fulfilled in us that we walk not after the flesh, but we walk after the Spirit. So, brethren, I hope that when you go back home, you think about this. Not only are you excited about having God's Holy Spirit, but you say, I'm going to use God's Holy Spirit. I'm going to walk the walk. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Now where do you go when you walk? Well, let's just drop down to the second point here, which is in verse 14. Excuse me. Okay. Let's see. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Here's point two, is that we need to be led by the Spirit of God. We need to be led by God's Spirit. We must follow Christ. So we put on our walking shoes. Okay, so you got on your walking shoes, you're ready to go somewhere. Well, where are you going to go? Well, guess what? You've got someone to follow. His name is Christ. If he's in your life, he's going to be directing you. Let's go to John chapter 10. He's going to be leading us to that life, that eternal life. John chapter 10 and verse 4. This is a parable. About some sheep. We'll just break in here in verse 4. I think you know the rest of it for sake of time. It says, he's talking about the sheep, and it says, and when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Now, if you've had dinner with somebody, and you've been sitting there talking with them, and they call you on the phone the next day, you recognize their voice. You say, hello, how you doing? You recognize their voice. Now, if you haven't been talking to them, they call you, you say, who is this? Has it ever happened? Someone calls, hello, and you say, who is this? Because you haven't heard from them in such a long time. You haven't been supping with them, so you don't recognize their voice. But here it says that the sheep recognize the shepherd, and they follow his voice. Now, we only had one sheep on the farm when I grew up. His name was Rampage. He was a ram, obviously. Rampage, the ram. The guy was just a little thing. And boy, could he ever jump. He could jump. Boy, we had bales stacked up this high to make a cage for him. A little circle thing. Man, talk about leaping like lambs. He just jumped right up. And he was like our pet. We'd take him out in the yard, and we'd call him, come here, Rampage. He'd just come running. And I remember my little brother, Paul. He was only about, oh, he must have been about this tall.
Okay.
Yeah. He's about as tall as that sheep was, that ram. I don't know if you've ever seen sheep that when they start running, they just sort of, you know, stiffen up their legs and go boing, 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 like that. You ever seen them do that? Celine, okay, so she had a sheep ranch. She knows. I'm not joshing you. And that's what that sheep would do. You would run right into my brother and knock him over, butt him, and just knock him over. Like he was a bowling ball and my brother was the bowling pins. But you know what? You'd call that sheep and it would come. Because it knew who we were. It was just like a dog. You know, you call it and it would come. Now, that's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to follow Christ. We had a dog once. When you called it, it wouldn't come. That was a terrible dog. It was given to us. You know, you don't like an animal that's supposed to be your pet that doesn't come when you call. Do you? I don't. You ever had that dog's name was Reno. Anyway, we don't want to be a Reno. We need to follow the voice. We need to follow. Why? Because God wants to give us a good life. You know, why do we, you know, not follow Him when He wants to give us something good? And if we go the wrong direction, we're not going to get it. Verse 10. He's talking about other people trying to break into the fold, break into the flock. He says, the thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But He says, but I am come that they might have life. We heard about that. He's come to give us eternal life. And that they might have it more abundantly. I mean, it's got to be better than this. Right? I mean, we might have a good life now, but you know, this is going to be like nothing compared to that. It's going to be an abundant life if we follow Christ. Let's go to John chapter 12, a couple pages over. John 12, and he can find this throughout the New Testament when he was calling the disciples. He told them to follow me. John 12, verse 26. John chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also my servant shall be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. The key is follow Him. Now, things are going to happen in our lives, brethren, that we're going to be challenged. They're going to do things to our brains and to our minds. But you know, we have this spirit and we need to be following Christ. That hopefully will give us a soundness of mind and to follow Him and rather what our carnal heart wants to do. We need that. We need to follow Him. Let's go to 1 Peter. Now some of you might not have known how to come to Polson, Montana. Beautiful Polson, Montana. Or Polson in beautiful Montana. So some of you may have caravanned over. Did anyone caravan over? Let me see a few nods. Yeah, some of you have caravanned over. Sort of fun to caravan. See, where's that going? Okay, yeah, back there in the... I said 1 Peter 2:21, right? I didn't tell you where to go? Okay, 1 Peter 2:21. Let's see if that works. 1 Peter chapter 2. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. We're supposed to follow His steps. You know, it's like caravanning. When you're caravanning, you're following that car in the lead, right? And you really hope that that guy that's driving knows where he is going, right? Because you're following him. You see him go by the right, the turnoff, and he, you know, well, you think, well, I hope he knows a shortcut. Well, see, we're following Christ. He knows the way. He knows how to get us to the kingdom. He knows how to give us life. So we need to make sure we're following in His steps. The Greek for follow means to go the same way. We need to follow Him and go the same way that Christ went. Let's go back to my final scripture. Time to wake up for those of you that are dozing off. Revelation chapter 14. We'll start in Revelation, we'll end in Revelation. Revelation chapter 14, verse 4. It's interesting, the analogies of the lamb, the sheep, following, walking in this way of life. Who are these people? Who are these people that make it into God's kingdom? Who are these people that are marked and saved, that are sealed and set apart? that didn't follow the false way, that weren't deceived. It says these, verse 4, Revelation 14, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. This is talking spiritually. They did not get messed up with some false religion. They were pure. They're the bride of Christ. For these are virgins, they are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and the Lamb. Isn't that interesting? That here we are on the day of Pentecost, and we are the firstfruits. We're being told that if we follow Christ, that we'll be there, that we'll be in the kingdom. So, brethren, don't quench the spirit that is in you. When Jesus knocks, let him in. Exercise the Holy Spirit, follow Christ, and walk the walk.